Another day, another dollar. An old saying, isn't it?
Sure. It's a good one, though, Jack. I like that saying.
Penny saved is a penny earned. All those little... That one isn't as good. Yeah, no. I agree.
The last time I heard that one was when we saw Dan Gilbert present, and he was using his book of isms. And he took that one on. He goes, "Well, penny saves a penny earned. Penny is just a penny, right? It's a penny." He's like... He's like, come on, right? But yeah, it's you gotta challenge some of these older ones, right? But another day, another dollar. What's it today? Another
$100? Depends on where you're at.
Another Bitcoin. That's what today's
could
about.
Be some of these countries ought to be a dollar a week.
Yeah. Right?
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
How would you plan for that?
Well,
you got a company that only pays a buck a week. That's pretty good. You get all this labor that would come pretty cheaply.
Yeah.
Helps not you. In today's world, not in today's button down world. 20 bucks an hour or nothing.
Well, no. We're only at 15 an hour, Jack. That's where it starts.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, it's where it is today. It's a moving target, though, but yes. So it's $15 an hour, not a day. So it depends on me how many hours you feel like working today, Jack.
That loaf of bread that you wanted to buy when you left work for $2 a loaf is now $5 a loaf at the end of the day.
Oops.
That factors in there somewhere along the planning process. Speaking of which, planning, what do you think, Adam? For 20 years doing business coaching, small business owners, those who have come up against putting plans together by academia pretty much, are often very frustrated and have great difficulty implementing the planning ease. It's a word, planning ease.
Planning and, ease, okay. I like that word.
Yeah, with people saying that every small business has to have a business plan, so they feel deficient if they don't have one. And our experience shows that so many of these business plans that are taught by professorial types or even consultant types, people who hang a shingle out, are overly complicated and aren't quite as useful as the whole concept should be. We used to, when we first started out, try to avoid the word planning because it was so toxic to so many small business owners.
that four-letter word, the P word, right? Yeah.
That's right. That's right. We believe in them, but we don't believe in the complexity of it and the special language that comes about and the terminology and the hoops that you have to run through to making spreadsheets and calculations and just consume your time with things that you don't have experience in as a small business owner, but yet you're being told by well-intentioned people that you need this to run your business. We have found that to be almost the opposite totally. Keep it simple, and we've devised a simple format tied into a longer range goal of setting a vision. I'll start laying down the steps to create that vision.
Well, before you do that, Jack, as you set the scene pretty well, it's one of those questions, whether you're starting a company, whether you're buying one, whether you're running it, you've been running it for a while. That's one of the most popular questions that people get, though, Jack, right? People ask them some version of, hey, what's your plan, right? And it got me thinking, it's like a new college student, since I have one going off to college right now. He's probably sick of answering this question already. He hasn't even started yet, right? Which is, hey, what's your major, right? What's your major? And so you have this canned response usually to that, right? You know, versus being just truthful, right? But you can't respond to whatever. But if you're asking that plan, our plan is to grow by 22% this year, Jack, and then we're going to double our sales in the next 5 years. That's our plan, right? That's what I'm supposed to say, right? Versus, I have no freaking clue what the plan is. I'm just trying to get through today, whatever it might be. I don't know what my major is going to be, Jack. I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to turn over some rocks here and kind of, explore some stuff and kind of see, right? Because I think to your point, if you ask 10 small business owners if they have a business plan and they're truthful with you, or if they've ever had a business plan. Maybe one, maybe two out of those 10 would say, yeah, I've got a plan, and they could show it to you. Maybe that many, right? You might get 0 out of 10.
My experience agrees wholeheartedly.
Most of those 10 would be somewhat successful, in spite of the fact that they don't have what, like you're saying, a lot of the folks say you need to have this magical business plan in place, right? They've heard about it. You know, it's one of those. Hey, have you guys seen it? Have you guys seen this business plan thing? You know, where it's almost like looking for the UFO. So, have you guys seen it? You know, where are they hiding this thing, or how does it work? So, there's a use for it, Jack. There's a use for it. There's a need for it at times, right? But not necessarily just to get your, you know, that crazy. When we're thinking about those business plans, I think it's where most people's heads are at. It's this 40, 50 page document. Think about that 40 or 50 page document. How much time and effort it takes to put some stuff in there. And again, as with most planning, Jack, it's a guess. All right.
Sure is. That's right.
And most planning is going to be wrong. That's okay.
Also right.
The purpose of planning isn't to be right. So why would I spend untold hours filling out 50 pages of stuff that I know most is going to be wrong versus, as you were starting to allude to, Jack, a more efficient way to do this comes back to our 7 keys in terms of what you're looking to do to make sure you're touching on the most important things, but maybe having a page for each of those 7 things kind of thing versus dozens of pages for things. So what would those 7 keys look like and sound like, Jack?
The 7 keys?
Yeah.
Well, we know that the first key is looking forward, looking ahead, coming up with a vision. Here you are, the opportunity is owner of a small business. You basically look into the future and lay out something that may or may not be part of what you're doing today. Usually it is, and that's fine. But it could be something totally different. You want to put a big right turn into your planning process and make over the company, because 10 years from now, you're spooked by what your crystal ball shows, and you want to get into something different, whatever that might be. But basically, you have a vision. Most plans that we see, the visionary is the owner of the small business, and he takes a multiple of what he's doing today and projects it into the future, versus really use it to think through stuff. But yeah, the first thing would be a vision. Where are we going 10 years from now? You know, we've talked about this on our podcast and our radio show many times about planning and having a sense of vision. Some people want to be big, but it never dawns on them, nor do they get support and encouragement from their friends and family. It never dawns on them that they could be as big as they want. 10 years is an awful long time to do stuff.
Sure it is, especially today in terms of the technology and where things are going and the abilities we have to connect and make things start to happen. I mean, a 10-year time frame is a long time.
So what do we do? We bring our team together, and if I'm the owner of the business, I say, look, guys, here's the direction I'd like to head. 10 years from now, can't we do anything we want? Hell yes, we can. Throw one of those motivational deals at them. We're basically trying to get them excited about the future in different ways. But we're going to try to do this. In the first year of that 10-year journey, is going to be what we call a profit plan. Profit plan. Hear that. Profit plan to your socialists out there.
There's that P word too. That's two P's, Jed. The evil profit word and the four-letter plan word. Okay, all right. That's an interesting combination, isn't it, for some people?
That's right. Not government checks. We don't want those. A few of them for people who are down and out. They need them, but it seems to get gamed after so many years of being on the government dole, you know. So we want a vision that's going to drive our first year of the 10. And that document that we're going to create is called a profit plan. And that profit plan is going to lay out our marketing and our sales. Who are we trying to go after? That's the next, that's the third component of our 7 keys to success. We have to target our customers. We have to understand who we're trying to do business with and have the product and or services at the ready to service those customers based on our research. Make it easy. Keep the language easy. Come back to the profit plan, which shows sales. What sales to who? Surprising how good we can get when we do that.
Yeah, and if you're starting out versus you have a company ready, Jack, it's a different approach. If you're just starting from scratch, you're having to guess who those customers might be. You have some ideas, perhaps, or maybe you got a few to kind of start with. But if you've had a business for a number of years, you have history that helps you with that part of it, right? You can look back and see, and you start asking yourself about, well, who are the good customers? Right? Because there are good customers and not so good customers. And so which customers maybe should you be getting rid of or kind of moving on from versus ones you'd like to replicate and have more of? And so that's what those discussions help you kind of figure out in terms of what kind of sales do you want to have? Because not all sales are created equally, Jack.
Right. Think, you know, as we well know.
As folks listening right now, if you try to think about your top 3 or 5 customers or your top 3 or 5 or your bottom 3 or 5 customers, whatever it might be, that if they were to leave, you'd be very relieved and happy. Even if they're bringing in some decent sales, again, not all sales are created equally. And so it's having some of those discussions and tough discussions to make sure you're figuring things out. From that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So yeah, it depends on it being a startup or having some history under your belt. That's basically a much easier way to plan if you have that history. It's way more definitive and targeted. Otherwise, a startup is much more difficult. But so we get this. We start to put our profit plan together. First line being our sales. Well, we get all these fancy plans start to put together and research start to put together. And we're trying to avoid having the academic smothering that basically comes from so many of these attempts. Keeping it relatively simple.
The academic smothering?
That's right.
I'm trying to, well, you're saying that and the thing going through my head now the Smothers Brothers, but okay. So what's the academic smothering that you're thinking about?
Keep it simple. That's right.
Okay. Simple. Keep it simple. All right. Okay.
So we have to get the people basically who are going to do these things assembled. And if we have lofty goals to be somewhere tremendously far out in 10 years, we got to get going pretty quickly with it. We don't have a lot of time to, dilly-dally, as they used to say. So we come up with the people. That's an org chart. And then we have to have somebody leading it. If I'm the owner, I'm leading it technically, but I may not be the right guy to move this thing along, especially from an operational standpoint.
Hold on. That's a key point, Jack. I think people maybe miss that in terms of how they're supposed to lead or do things. To your point, in terms of looking at, well, maybe I'm not the person. That's a tough question. You see it in bigger companies often, Jack, but smaller companies, you often don't see the owner stepping aside a little bit and bringing somebody in who can kind of run things. It's very unusual, but you start having those kind of discussions if you're thinking about it and you're honest with yourself on things, or there's areas you have to improve on in order to become that better leader in terms of what does the organization need too. Because depending where the organization's at a startup phase versus you're having some troubles or things are going through a growth phase, often what's needed at those phases are very different skills and abilities. And, don't put the pressure on yourself to have all those answers as the owner. Just because you're the owner doesn't mean you have all the answers or you're the right person for the job, so to speak. But knowing what's needed is a big part of that leadership, and being able to have humility and knowing that you can't necessarily do everything is one of the lessons that people some people never learn, Jack, but the more successful folks do learn. I got to tap into other folks out here that have other skills to get what the organization needs for us to kind of go forward. So it's a big part of that leadership part, Jack.
Well, that's humility. You mentioned that. That's a seems like it's a rare commodity today, but hopefully it'll come back sometime in the future here.
Right. I call it more of a precious gem versus a commodity, Jack, right?
Well, that's a better term. That's right.
Right.
So we talk about the leadership. Obviously very important. Good leaders will get good results for the most part, and they'll get them timely, and they'll have fun doing it. So not good leaders will create a lot of angst, a lot of turnover, a lot of negatives. And we've seen our share of both of those. Well, we've seen our share of the negatives more than we've seen the positives. It's just the way it is. And it's training and it's personality and it's humility is a big part of that. And that's a very key word.
Right.
So the next thing we would be looking at would be cash flow. Startups have cash flow issues. Any business from time to time is going to have cash flow issues, whatever they may be. And we like to put in it's not as simple as it seems, but basically it is once you get it in place. And that's a 90-day cash flow. We want to make sure if somebody's grumbling, they don't have enough cash for various reasons, or their sales took a dip, or their pricing is out of whack. They don't know how to, you know, assemble their costs and come up with an intelligent way to do their pricing. They basically are going to be having difficulties with cash flow. So we put in a program that creates a cash czar in the company, and that person is trained to basically be able to schedule out cash 90 days.
All right, so let's pause here for a second, because you've talked about the long-term vision, Jack, which is kind of more like a 5 or 10 year thing we're talking about. It's kind of longer term. You mentioned the profit plan, which is a year. So go from, you know, like a 10 year to 1 year. And now you're mentioning the cash forecast, which is 90 days. Those are things to kind of keep in mind, right? We got a 90 day chunk, you know, a 1 year chunk and a 10 year chunk. Those are good kind of good stakes in the ground to be thinking about in terms of higher operating stuff. And obviously the more immediate part, Jack, is going to be that 90 day piece. And we should have better visibility on that next 90 days versus even this year, or certainly for the next 10 years. So there's different pieces there in terms of what we're trying to do with those things. But that 90-day cash, to your point, Jack, whether you're starting out, whether you've been in business for decades, cash is always a concern. You want to know where cash is. And it's amazing what we see, Jack, when folks have that 90-day window where they know that they have positive cash and the calmness that comes across the entire organization of knowing I've got, at the minimum, I've got 90 days to react to anything that goes on. So picture that, like even going back to last year when the pandemic hit, Jack. Picture who was able to stay calm. The folks who had a sense of what the next 90 days looked like. Now, that obviously changed, or their assumptions changed, at least having those tools in place to be able to start to pivot and adjust and all those fancy words people were using last year, right? What does that mean? To us, it means go back to your 7 keys and figure out what's going on, but you start with the cash. How's cash look? And if you have no visibility on cash, nothing else really matters at that point, Jack,
because
everybody's trying to figure out that issue. You know, so cash, again, I just wanted to kind of point that out as you've kind of gone through, you're hitting those different points in terms of, again, longer term versus 1 year versus 90 days. So
good point. And last but not least, presenting. What does that mean, presenting? How do you present your company? How do you as the owner present your company? You talk about profit, or you talk about product and service. Most stop there. They talk about they're enamored with that, and rightfully so. I mean, that's how they started. Unless they've been educated to a point of learning about planning and tying the 7 keys that we just talked about and still are talking about together. Well, so you want to present, be able to present in different ways to different audiences, different to banks, different to a crisis looming for your company, a big success for your company. Again, possible investors. People are interested, obviously, in money and where the company's going and how's technology going to affect it and obsolescence with what you're doing. How do you keep cutting edge skills in your consulting business? How do you do that stuff? How do you do any of these things if you've never done them before, especially? So we use the seven keys that way for multiple purposes. And they apply to big companies, small companies, nonprofit companies. Makes no difference.
So one of the, you know, as we're kind of knocking on some of these fallacies here about business plans a little bit, Jack, I think one of the things that you touched on here just a minute ago about how people will present, and they'll present talking a lot about their product and services. And most owners, you know, love their product and services. And it's one of those myths that we I think busted years ago on this show, Jack, talking about the idea, hey, do you need to be passionate to have about whatever your product or service is, you know, that's how you build the business. You build something that you're passionate about, right? So, hey, if you're really passionate about yoga, you build a yoga studio. That's what's going to drive everything. And that's why they love talking about their product and service, right? Well, we're pretty passionate guys, Jack. We're passionate about a business, right? About business and helping people with their businesses. And it's not the product or service part that we get all excited about. It's just the business itself we get excited about in terms of trying to get these seven keys that you're talking about, getting them in place. Because we know that whether it's a for-profit or nonprofit organization, we know if they have those things in place and they're being worked on, that they're going to have sustainable success going forward because they've embraced the right kind of things, that they're having the right kind of discussions internally about what needs to be done. And they're talking about the most important things. And as an owner, you know, again, come back to our opening here, talking about, you know, people are always asking about, hey, what's your plan? And usually the response we do is like people say, look, I'm not writing a business plan, Jack, because I'm busy doing stuff instead. All right. As a small business owner, you want to be doing stuff. And so these seven keys that we've been preaching for years and coaching on for years are geared towards helping you do stuff with a little bit of planning. Again, we don't have all the answers. Here's what we're going to do next. Here's how it kind of plugs into that 90-day chunk, or that 1-year chunk, or that 10-year chunk. And they should all align from that standpoint, right? Because if you're doing the wrong things in the next 90 days that don't fit into your 10-year plan, okay, the 10-year plan doesn't make sense. So what we're doing right now doesn't make sense, right? Okay, so we got to make sure that those things are kind of aligned, but it doesn't need to be an academic exercise where we're going through some stuff like that. But to be able to present and have those things ready to kind of go, to your point, Jack, you can present to anybody with those things, whether it be you're presenting to your internal team, you're presenting to a vendor, to a customer, you're going to your banker. Now, as we start to kind of get along here a little bit, I guess, again, the question of the day, Jack, is why is everyone so enamored with business plans? And, you know, what kind of gives here? You know, are they really necessary? And so I guess if we tap into our inner attorney here, Jack, and borrow a phrase from our attorney friends here, the two words that they always use, it depends.
Oh, it depends.
Right? It depends. So it depends, right? So, yeah, do you need a plan? To your point, if you're going to go raise money for your company and you're going beyond your closest family and friends, right? So if you go to your dad and say, hey, dad or mom, I need to borrow money, or your brother, hey, can you give me a little bit of money? You know, they aren't going to necessarily ask. Some might, but most of them won't necessarily ask for that formalized 50-page business plan, Jack, right? They'll kind of, you know, they kind of know, hey, I try, whatever it might be, but you don't need that. You could do a version of the seven keys with them, okay, and cover some of those key points. But if you're going to go to, you know, some angel investors, if you're going to go to a private equity firm or a venture capital firm, or even often if you go to the bank, they want a little more formalized stuff, right? Where they'll believe it, but they want to kind of fill things in. So there are certain places you go where those plans become required. But again, as a small business owner, you don't necessarily need to be talking to VCs and private equity folks, right? Or angel investors to get started. You don't need to talk to the bank, or the bank that doesn't need a full plan to kind of get things kind of going. They just need to know you're opening up an account, you're in business. Hey, you get a line of credit, you know, pretty easily for the most part. So there are certain situations you need it. I guess at the culmination of all that stuff too, Jack, eventually you might want to sell your business. Okay. And at that point, it's helpful to have the plan, right? Because at the end of the day, the buyer's coming in, and what they're going to do is they're going to take a look at what you've done in the past and say, hey, good job, keep it up. And look at now, what's next? What's the future hold? And well, if your response is, well, I don't know. I mean, that's going to be your problem. You guys buy the company, right? So that's not, no. Okay. Wait a minute. How's that going to sell very well, right? Versus no, here's all things I'm looking to do. Here's my plans. And you got to come in and get me excited in terms of why you want to, you know, buy me out or what have you, but to have an idea of what that plan looks like going forward too. So in those situations, you might need a little more formalized stuff. But even then, It's just putting a couple pages together. It can help at a very high level figure some of those things out. And so we wanted to kind of discuss this issue today, Jack, because again, we know it's still very prevalent out there. People are asking people for these things and they're having to fill things out. You know, if you go look at buying a franchise off, and they'll make you fill out again, they'll have these 20 pages of questions, Jack, you got to answer. And I guess I understand from a screening standpoint for the franchisor to kind of help screen out people that really aren't serious, but oh my goodness, it almost scares away a lot of the right people too. You know, and say, hey, is this why I have to spend 20 hours a week putting together documents like this, or can I actually go get some customers and service some customers and do other things like that, or add new services, or things that are key to actually running the business day to day, Jack, versus creating more paper plan or digital plan, adding a new graph or a new chart to that thing. I mean, come on, that can't help you.
Where do business owners go to get plans developed, and why do they feel they need them so bad? It's hard to look forward and set down a track for your company to run on unless you have a plan, what we're calling a plan. But it's more the complexity of the plan that we take issue with. It doesn't have to be as complicated as so often is the case. Now, if I'm a small business owner and I'm in business for a few years and I've never learned or been through planning, what do I do? How do I put a plan together? Who do I usually call? How do I get started?
Your CPA? Call their CPA?
That's probably where they'd start. Would the CPA help them? Maybe give them a template?
Maybe, or point them in some direction. Hey, go talk to this nonprofit organization or that helps kind of do those kind of things. Or they may have some sort of a template online. They may say, hey, just Google this, or go here. Again, there's different resources are out there. If you Google business plan template, Jack, you can find 100 of them. Pretty quick.
Right.
So, are they the right ones? Are they the right templates? Because again, at the end of the day, as an owner, the last thing you want to be doing is spending time on the wrong things. And that's the genesis of our seven keys, Jack. Was the idea of, hey, all this stuff coming at you day to day as an owner, how do you know what to focus on? And we try to make it very simple, Jack, and say, here are the seven categories of things you should be focusing on as an owner. That's it. And if something else falls outside of that purview, then what do you, it should be somebody else focusing on it, or it doesn't, really should be focused on at all from the business standpoint. So it's helping to get that focus, and it's a difficult thing to do. And as we know, Jack, as an owner, there's certain, I want to say embarrassing things or things, you almost put pressure on yourself that you're supposed to know certain things. And we see it a lot with financials. Okay. Hey, you've been in business for 5 years or 8 years. And so everybody assumes you kind of know what the numbers are all about. Right. And again, the last thing I want to do as an owner is tell you, I don't know something. So I do that dutifully smile and nod at times. And so too many owners will do that instead of being honest about things and say, hey, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. And so that's one of the things we have to get comfortable with as owners, that it's okay to say, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're talking about. And what's funny is if you do that, chances are maybe the person you're talking to doesn't quite know either. They're saying what they heard too. It's go back to the I'm okay, you're okay kind of thing, right? People are just, they're passing time. They're not passing any information back and forth, Jack. It's just,
That's right. There's a lot of that.
So can you show me your business plan, Jack? And I'll show you mine. I don't really have one, right? It's one of those things. So if you ask the person who's asking for that business plan, ask them, well, hey, what's your plan look like? Also, I bet that's a very short conversation, Jack. They're gonna go off that topic real quick in terms of what's kind of going on. Hey, where's your business plan at, Jack? Well, okay. Versus, hey, hey, let me see your profit plan. Okay, here it is, right? So having those things in place and what we know is, okay, look, if you work on those seven keys, okay, it's not like you work on them once and they're done, Jack. As the weeks and months go, different ones of the seven keys need your love and attention more than others. And so every company does well in certain of those areas, and every company has trouble in some of those areas. And so the key for you is knowing which areas do you have the most trouble with, and coming back to what you mentioned earlier, Jack, about leadership, and which of those areas are you going to be able to handle, take care of, versus where do you need some help on those other areas. And so if nothing else, I want to encourage the owners to kind of ask those questions, to kind of push back a little bit. When somebody's asking about your business plan, right? Well, again, it's okay. It's okay. They ask the banker, well, hey, what's your business plan look like? And they might have one, the banker, because the banks often force people, but it's okay. It kind of push back on folks that way. Again, it's something that's talked about a lot, but most people have no clue what they mean when they're talking about it from that standpoint, Jack.
That's right. That's right. So what can we conclude from here?
Well, planning is a good thing, right?
Planning. It is a good thing if done with common sense rule.
Okay. And
that's a good thing.
And that's what the seven keys are kind of geared towards. So right. I'm not saying that the seven keys are the only thing you can use, okay? But it's a great place to start. And there are other ways to do it, but don't try to find a template that you got to fill out, because what it'll do is it'll create all kinds of frustration for you and get you upset and all kinds of different things that you don't necessarily want. And it's not going to say be fruitful. Now, are those questions helpful to answer? But again, the questions are great, but what do you want to be focusing on versus that? Let's look at the things we were talking about before, and focusing on your customers and are you profitable and do you have money? Again, those are the key questions you want to get answered. And if you have those things answered, okay, you can then start to kind of think longer term about some stuff like that versus all being very short term, very immediate focused. So a little bit of planning goes a long way. And so if people aren't in a planning mode, Jack, where should they start? How do they start? Because I've never planned before in my life. I don't know how to do it. I get up every day and I run my company and do what we got to do. And I answer the phones and respond to emails and deal with customers and deal. Okay, I just get up every day and I just kind of fight. So how do I get out of that routine? You know, because again, the idea of filling out a 50-page business plan does not, I'm not going to find time to do that, Jack. I'm not going to find 50 hours in my week to kind of put together a plan like that.
If you can find your way to meeting with Maximum Value Partners, a business coaching company, that would be the best start. You'd have a very experienced guidance. And in the absence of Maximum Value Partners being available, you'd have to hunt for, I would say, a good business coach. Somebody that is practical, who's had the experience, who uses common sense, who respects your position as a business owner and how busy that can be from time to time. But it's a give and take with an expert that has common sense and focus on making things simple for you. It doesn't have to be complicated and difficult to muddle through. It just doesn't have to be, because you're doing it anyway. It's more of an organizational, educational process that fits busy schedules. That's really what it comes down to. That's what you do. Only if you, unless you had a different answer to that one.
No, that's, again, it's getting started with some simple things like that. And we laid the seven keys out that if somebody has none of those things in place, you start with the vision. Start there. What are you hoping to do? What are you trying to do? You know, and so many great companies that we've seen and worked with and owners we've met, Jack, have started from very, very humble beginnings in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. And they're often amazed how quickly they accomplish that simple goal, that simple vision. Maybe instead of 10 years in, they accomplish it in 6 months or a couple of years. Okay. They constantly kind of start to kind of, so start there in terms of, because that's going to help to energize and kind of draw stuff. And then very quickly put together a plan. What's it look like to be able to make money this year? That's where the profit plan comes in. So start with that in terms of, again, how's that going to work? How are we going to make money in this business? Because we can't figure that part out, Jack, then okay, maybe we're a nonprofit. And there's ways to be nonprofits on purpose versus, as too many owners joke, Jack, they're nonprofits not on purpose, right? That just means that they're losing money in their business.
That's right. They don't know why, other than they need more sales. That's usually the answer.
So let's be clear again. You know, so Jack and I are not saying that planning is a bad thing. In fact, we're saying the exact opposite. We're saying planning is a great thing for your business. The bad thing is these business plans that people keep talking about, these 20, 30, 50 page documents that aren't really what you need to kind of make happen what you need to happen. So things like our seven keys are the ways to kind of start from a planning standpoint to kind of get those things kind of going. And if you aren't sure where to start, again, start with number one and go, as Jack went through, go through from one to two to three, because they tie in and flow. The profit plan brings everything together in the business, Jack. And that's where we often start with some folks in terms of that. Once you get the vision in terms of what we're trying to do, that first step along the journey, how are we going to make money? How are we going to find customers? What kind of customers do we want to have in here, Jack? How are we going to price our product? How are we making money this? How are we servicing? How are we filling those orders, right? So it helps you answer all those questions. And it shows you the scorecard in terms of, well, how are we going to do? If we do what we're planning to do, are we making money or losing money, right? It's like a team starting now. We're in the heat of NFL camps, Jack. And I guarantee you, every one of those teams, their vision is Super Bowl champions, right? Only one team's going to be there when it's done. Well, the stuff they're doing right now to help them get there, some have no shot at all, right? Maybe it's some of the talent and people they got on board. Other ones may have the talent on board, but they don't have maybe the culture or the plans to get there, or they're focusing on the wrong things. And again, they know where they're trying to go, but they're making some plans to kind of get there. Well, same thing's true for your business. What's your version of the Super Bowl? What are you trying to accomplish? You want to know at the end of the day, hey, if this is what we're trying to get to, how are we going to make that happen?
An analogy. That's right.
Very simple.
How are we going to do it?
Simple questions to ask, very difficult to answer questions. So yeah, that's about the business plan stuff. So any other comments on that, Jack, or that's enough for today?
No, that's enough business planning for today. Right. Yeah. We'll be talking about that down the line sometime again.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yep. I agree.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for today's show. If you missed any of our prior shows, you get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. And if you have a smartphone or smart device, you can just go there and subscribe to it. You can go to any one of the popular podcast players, Spotify, iHeart, Apple Podcasts, and just subscribe to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We usually drop a new show every Thursday, so it'll be delivered right to your smart device for you. And you get all of the old shows in there as well. We've got about, this is episode 275, as a matter of fact, Jack. So we've got 275 episodes now. And usually ranging from maybe 20 minutes to over an hour. So a lot of great stuff that's there. And there are things that stand the test of time. So whatever question or topic you've got, I challenge you to go to our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. There's a place there when you go to the episode, you can search, put in your question, and you'll get multiple episodes on just that one question. I can almost guarantee you that can give you some insight and some guidance in terms of what to do about that challenge or problem. So it's a good place to be able to go get all those things. Our show next week, make sure you want to tune in for this, Jack. We're going to talk about something in terms of transitions, which is, how do I prove I'm ready to take over? And that's an important thing, whether you're the current generation trying to figure out when the next generation is ready, or if you're that next generation trying to show that you're ready. So how do you show and how do you prove that you're ready to take over?
Well, we have the answer for that one.
We definitely do.
We have the answer for most of them.
So we'll be talking about that again. So if you're in that time zone, you're thinking about that, or maybe you're kind of in that process, you're trying to figure out, when do we pull that trigger? Next week's show is gonna be a good one for you to be able to kind of tune into. So be sure to do that. If you want to get a hold of us in between, you can do that through email, radio@maximumvp.com, or give us a call, 877-849-0670. Hey, thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you all next week.
Bye-bye.